A long time ago, there were two friends that set forth on a great journey of knowledge. Now, they welcome you to join them on an exciting new adventure called Q-Quest.
So, Alex, what do you think of that wizard that I hired to do that intro, huh? That was pretty good, right?
It's quite amazing. I don't know how you found him.
I mean, I did a huge, like, Lord of the Rings journey through New Zealand, and at the end of the trail, you know, where he throws the ring into the mountain. I forgot what mountain in New Zealand that is. It's a real mountain. No, it's not. No, it's not. But he was standing right there, and he was like, yo, you guys need a wizard for this intro, because I can do that. So he's a real guy. We hired him. Yeah. He's a real guy. We hired him. You know, it was $200 an hour, you know, just like no big deal. But yeah. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, quite a dashing young man, I'm sure.
Oh, he's very young, extremely young. But yeah, Alex, before we get into today's episode of Q-Quest, can we talk really quick about those Joaquin Phoenix pictures of him as the Joker? Did you see those?
Yeah, I only saw the one, but it did look pretty sweet. I did. The one I saw, he didn't have any makeup on, though.
Oh, M-G. That looks so good. I'm not even kidding right now. When I saw that, I think I almost fell out of bed because I woke up to it and it was just him. Yeah, you're right. He didn't have any makeup on, but he had this long hair and just one of his eyes was like a little bit like squinted, like it was a little lazy eye or something, but it looked so menacing. This looks like, because I think it's supposed to be like an origin story, right? Is that what we heard?
I didn't hear that, but I thought he looked older, but maybe it's just because, or maybe they're going to show that from the beginning to the end, but I thought he looked like an older Joker, which normally, I mean, Heath Ledger looked, what was it, late 20s, early 30s, most of the Jokers.
Yeah, he was a bit younger. He was a bit younger, yeah. So, I mean, I think this is going to be a really interesting take for the Joker, so I'm super, super excited for that. But yeah, Q-Quest, welcome everybody to the second episode of our podcast here, where pretty much we are your recommended Q for anything nerd fandom related. If you guys are into like fantasy movies, TV shows, or sci-fi, or even music, pop music, rock music, we're here to help you out. Isn't that right, Alex?
For sure. Definitely. I also went to Buffalo Comic Con over the weekend.
Oh, do tell.
So
please.
Did look at some comics and
You said you saw some cosplay. You have to tell us what your favorite cosplay you saw was.
For me, it's more so the timing, because I saw somebody in the noir outfit for Spider-Man, the black hat and the goggle thing.
Yeah.
And just because I'm playing Spider-Man right now also, and the game is incredible.
Like
probably
everyone,
top 3 game of the year.
Like everyone that has a PlayStation playing Spider-Man right now.
It's awesome. Just all around great. But anyway, so I picked up some comics. They had a stand there where you could take 25 free comics, up to 25.
Yeah.
And so I took 24. I couldn't find another one that I wanted.
You took 24 comics.
Some that I did find.
You better read all of those.
I probably will, yeah. But the coolest ones were, and I had to get them once I saw it, were titled The Dragon Prince. This is a totally different story, but I was like, I have to pick these up. They're called The Dragon Prince. We're talking about it right now.
I mean, why not? Why not?
Yeah. No idea what it's going to be like, but I haven't opened them yet.
What was on the cover? Was there like a cover? Could you see?
Yeah, it was like a boy and maybe another guy in like kind of knight's armor and two other characters. And then there's a dragon in the background, I think. One of them, I can't remember the others.
Yeah, so pretty much exactly what you would think from, you know, something called The Dragon Prince.
Right. And then I also bought two graphic novels for Batman.
Nice.
One was The Black Mirror and then The Dark Victory. So I don't know what those will be like, but...
Ooh, well, you have to tell us.
Yeah,
you'll have to
sure.
read those, and then on one of the episodes, you'll have to tell us how they were.
Yeah, I'll give a quick rundown of how awesome they are, because I looked at the reviews on them and they were both in the top 10 for Batman graphic novels.
Ooh, that's cool. All right. Well, we got to get into what we're talking about today. So let's just do like a brief little outline of what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about the first three episodes. So this is really tough because I want to watch all of the Dragon Prince right now. I really, really do. What is there, 9 episodes?
Yeah.
I want to watch all of them, but when you do that, it... What, Alex? Like, what is that feeling? When you watch through all of them, you feel like you didn't get to know the characters well enough. Because when you've had time to, like, sit on everything that's happened in an episode, you kind of feel like you're in it more, you can relate more. There's things that you pick up. Even if you, like, rewatch episodes, because I rewatched the first 3 episodes, and I'm picking up on things that I didn't pick up on the first time, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I missed that. How did I miss that, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think the best way to watch a show is in segments rather than binging. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, when you told me about Game of Thrones back in the day, I binged those first 3 seasons.
Well,
like,
you kind of have to. You kind of have to. There's so much content. You have to, like, you have to binge, otherwise you're never going to catch up, you know?
Right. But, yeah, the best way, I think, is when you have to wait in between, whether it's 3 episodes or 1 episode. It's just better because it soaks in more and you think about it through the week, and then when you go into the next episode, you're thinking about those things and you just
pay attention
to more stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about the first 3 episodes, and then you remember how last podcast episode we had a segment which was like our favorite top 10? So this episode, we're going to have a new segment called The Showdown, and we are going to put 2 characters from 2 separate universes up against each other, and it is going to be a battle to the death. Are you ready for that?
Super ready.
I am so ready. I'm not gonna get too much into it, but I do want to say one is from the Dragon Prince and the other one is from Lord of the Rings. So yeah, we're gonna have some very interesting arguments about who is gonna walk away from that duel. Okay, so everybody who's watching or listening, sorry, do too many YouTube videos over here. Everyone who's listening, stay around, stick till the end, because that's gonna be a really fun segment.
Everyone who's listening, keep watching.
Yes, everyone. Yes, Alex, exactly. There he is. Okay, so let's get into the first episode. Right off the bat, I think it's so cool that they're calling, I think, the first season Book 1 Moon. Right,
yeah,
Alex?
Super Avatar right
yeah,
there.
Just like straight from Avatar. I don't know anybody.
I saw that and I got really excited. Like, to me, it seems like just from that, it's like, all right, there's got to be more than one season of this.
I know.
Like, just from that.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's just Book 1 Moon, which would be very not satisfying.
Yes, want more than that.
But yeah, even more so than that little title scroll there, the first sounds you hear are like your quintessential sound effect instrument from Avatar, like the just like that wind instrument that just goes
the Sugi horn.
That was a really bad example. I'm sorry. you really just go watch it on Netflix and then you'll know what I'm talking about. But literally, yeah. Wait, what is that?
The Sugi horn?
That's what that's called.
That's the thing though. Remember Iroh talks about it and then he ends up playing it. He's like, I'm not very good, but you know, they had that show.
How do you remember that, Alex?
Well, I just watched it like a month ago.
Oh, okay.
But that's why. Actually, it's funny. This watch was the time it stuck out to me to remember Sugi horn.
Yeah, but, that's so funny. All right,
it's
well,
that cool little.
Yeah,
whatever.
Alex. I mean, like, before we get further into it, I think everything that we had predicted. Almost everything that we had predicted in our last episode has been pretty spot on, right?
Yeah, we pretty much killed it.
Yeah, so in this first episode, we get confirmed, you know, there's 6, you know, primal sources of magic. The sun, the moon, the stars, earth, the sky, and the ocean. And then the dark magic, which is the 7th source, was created by some human mage like 1,000 years ago. And that created all this tension and all this war, which is, you know, separating the whole continent, the whole continent of what's it called again?
Zadia?
Yeah. Well, Zadia. That's right, Zadia. Yeah. So the whole thing is called Zadia, but then they ended up splitting it up and putting the men over to the west. So that they say that in like the first episode that they pushed all of the men to the west. And when I heard that, and I was like, is this a Lord of the Rings reference? Really quick, the men of the west is. Is Zadia on the other side of Mount Doom? Is that like to the right of everything over there?
Maybe he's Thunder is on Mount Doom in that in the shot at the end of the preview of each episode, the go in for it.
Oh yeah, he's like, what are these birds doing here? This is dragon territory. They're not supposed to be here.
I do love that shot though, for to go into every episode. Just you see Thunder at the top of there and then all of these people moving. It's a cool shot with the lava and whatever.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. But yeah, so Men of the West, oh, they have, apart from that Lord of the Rings little reference there, they got some Game of Thrones references, I think, in the second episode that we'll go into. But it's really funny. It cracked me up while we were watching it. But yeah, so the Dragon King was killed. And that's what sparked this this whole little war that's going on between the elves, the dragons, and the humans. And the Dragon King's name was Thunder. And it was that massive dragon in the trailer that I said it was at the end. And the humans destroyed the Dragon Prince. And everyone is upset. The elves are upset. The dragons are upset. And you find out in the first episode that the elves sent this little assassin party of Moonshadow elves to go and kill the king, the human king, King Harrow, the main character's dad, Ezrin, who's the prince, and Callum, who is the stepbrother prince of Ezrin. Step-prince, is that how would you – I think that's how you would say it. But yeah. So yeah, we get into the whole thing with Rayla, who's got this crazy chase scene, and she doesn't end up killing the human at the end of it, which I think all the elves thought she would. And this is going to be a huge problem for them because that human gets away, that Rayla lets live, and goes and tells everyone that the Moonshadow elves are coming. And then their assassination attempt is pretty much off to a bad start with that. It's probably going to mess everything up in the next episode. Spoiler alert. It does. Also, spoiler alert, if we didn't already say this, but if you guys haven't seen these three episodes, you guys should definitely watch it. Like, go over to Netflix, like, ASAP and watch the show because it's really, really good. Right, Alex?
Yeah, I was very satisfied with the show so far. I mean, it's only three episodes, but the music's great. The voice acting's amazing. I actually like the art in it. I know a lot of people didn't like how the reduced frame rate is or it bothers them, but I actually like it. It does kind of give it a little bit of character and it's different from other stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely like this nuanced thing that kind of separates it from the rest of animation that's coming out today, especially what you see on Nickelodeon Cartoon Network, which is all like crazy, sporadic, really fast, high frames animations. Because I don't know, like everyone's retention spans are so short that they have to create all these crazy animations that keeps everyone locked into the show, but they're doing something different and I think that's really cool and they should definitely keep doing that. But yeah, apart from that, in this first episode, you know, Rayla doesn't kill the soldier, but the rest of her assassin friends thinks that she does. So then we meet the rest of the characters that we were teased in the trailer. Claudia, Soren, Viren. I pronounced it Viren in our last episode, but now I know. Now we know it's Viren. Okay, so now we can say it right. And we meet King Harrow and a couple of his guards. I'm not going to lie, Alex. I really love the guards in this show. Like, all the human guards are really funny. They have, like, this very... they just don't get why the main characters are trying so hard to make all these puns and jokes, because they're main characters and that's what main characters are supposed to do to be relatable. They make all these jokes to the audience, but the guards are just like, what? They like just don't get
it. They're just not into it at all.
They're not into it at all. And it's just, it creates this really, these really funny moments, especially with Soren, which I'm actually really loving Soren. I think Soren might be one of my favorite characters so far in the show. He's got this really ridiculous sense of humor that, like I said, the guards just, they just don't get. And they always make a point to be like, okay, just stop or whatever. You know, they're just like all like whatever.
Yeah, they're very nonchalant. Like, don't care about anything.
Yeah, so it's like this, like, it's like this, imagine Game of Thrones, but like all these characters with these weird relationships are just trying to create jokes, but then none of their like underlings get them and just like whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's pretty cool. But okay, yeah, going back into the first episode, the Moonshadow Elves, they do this weird rope ceremony where they kind of bind themselves to their mission to kill King Harrow and his son, Prince Ezrin. They bind themselves with these ropes and they put it all around their arms, and they say this like little chant thing, and Runan, who is like the leader of these assassins, you know, says we're gonna strike when the moon is highest. So it was like this really cool scene, and I really like how there's magic like that. So not only is there like spells where like you can cast magic, but there's magical items that are really, really cool, and stuff like that I think is very interesting, and it creates all these more plot devices, I feel like, for the show to create different kinds of storylines that we haven't seen in other traditional shows that have magic, which are traditionally, you know, like, oh, here's a fireball, or oh, here's a spark of lightning, or let me just whip some water at your face. You know, just, we got some like other cool things that are happening, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was interesting with the like the little rope thing that, you know, they cut it and then it basically binds itself to them. I don't really know.
It's like a blood. It's like a blood pact or something like that.
Right, but at the end of the three episodes, spoiler alert, we don't know for sure if the king is dead or not. But the thing, the rope falls off.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm wondering what if that's just like, all right, mission is over, or like mission was successful, or what? Because then he fires off the arrow that turns into the hawk thing.
Yeah. So at the end of that episode, we'll definitely go more into that. Right. But that was pretty much the majority of the first episode. At the end, Soren, who is one of like the human guards, he's like the lead human guard dude. He talks about the elves while he's trying to track them, and that's how Runan knows that the humans know that they're coming. So their whole plan is a bust, right? Their whole plan is a bust, and that's the cliffhanger that they end on for the first episode. And then the second episode. Here's the second episode. Runan obviously kicks out Rayla from the group because, you know, she really messed up there. Not going to lie. Like,
yeah, the scout live.
I know it
obviously
sucks.
That was not their plan.
I know it wasn't, but like it sucks that she was in this position where she had to kill somebody who like had no idea there was, you know, anybody there. But like her job was to kill this dude. And she's like, I don't do that. I don't kill people. She's like Batman, you know. She's not like a full-fledged moon shadow assassin just yet. So she's still got her morality, and she doesn't want to do these things that everyone else is doing, and she's paying the price. So she gets kicked out of this blood pact, even though she's still in the blood pact. So technically if they fail, they all die. Isn't that? I think that's how that works.
Is it? Oh, I must have missed that part.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Because that's what he said. Because remember, he said in the first episode, "We're all dead," you know. Because now that they know they're coming, after they made the blood pact, and if they can't do it, they're just like that spell.
They have to go.
It's going
to go
kill
through
them
with the mission either way. Once they make the pact, kind of thing, and then just. And now that they know it's not going to work, or not the work the way they.
Yeah, they think they're all dead. You know, they think they're all dead, and that was the cliffhanger for the first episode. But yeah, so they kicked her out. This is the second episode. Callum, we see another cool scene where Callum talks about magic with Claudia, and this is where we really get to know Callum a little bit more. So he doesn't know any magic at all. He's not a mage. He's not even a knight or trained with a sword, because we got this really cool scene where he's fighting Soren like as a, like a practice round, and he's just like so bad. He tries to sweep the leg. He tries to sweep Soren's leg, and Soren just literally puts his foot on the sword and stops him. So that just like shows you his physical limits right there. So he's not very quick. He doesn't know.
He's kind of like Sam from Game of Thrones, just not a talented swordsman whatsoever.
Kind of, yeah.
But I like how Soren responds. You could tell he's at least somewhat lighthearted, because he sees that he's looking at Claudia, that Callum's looking at Claudia, and then tries to help him out, and you know, makes it look like he gets him. And then,
so what do you think about that? Speaking of Callum and Claudia, it looks like they're like building some kind of love interest. Well, clearly,
Callum is into Claudia. I don't know if Claudia cares at all, but
yeah, maybe, possibly. I'm thinking maybe like after we talk more about the third episode, I think we'll be like, maybe she's into him a little bit. But I think it's cool. I mean, like, what's a show like this without that kind of like dramatic, you know, like teenage love interest
teenage romance,
you know, it's so funny. Yeah. I think it's cool that Soren's like trying to help him out. Like Soren. Oh, we also found out that Soren is Claudia's brother. So right. It was like kind of funny that Soren was helping him out.
Yeah, he like kind of feels bad for him, and he's just trying to like, oh, I'll give him a hand here.
Yeah,
but then afterwards, one of the guards comes by, and he's like, he didn't actually kill me here.
Yeah,
like, he didn't actually get me.
Yeah, he didn't hit me with the sword. No, but yeah, that was a really cool scene. But back to the second episode, they're talking about Claudia's. She's got this primal stone that has this like thunderstorm going on inside of it. And
you know what it kind of looks like too is what's the name of the orb thing from Lord of the Rings?
Oh, the Palantir?
Yeah.
Like the thing that Pippin picks up.
Right. Yeah.
And then like Gandalf is asleep or whatever and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It does kind of look like that.
Like that. Cause it's like dark, but got like a little bit of purple and then it kind of lights up in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something.
But it's like, it looks like it's this kind of source of magic because Claudia holds it and then she does this like spell where she throws this book or makes this book look like it's floating in the air or like turning its pages without anybody actually doing it. So Callum thinks it's like a magical book at first, but then he finds out that Claudia was manipulating the book with magic. So it's really interesting to see how magic works in this show. Because like I said before, the magical items, I think, are what's going to make the show really, really cool and interesting and stuff that we haven't seen before, because they're creating all of those items that, you know, are really original. Like, I can't think of any other show that, you know, is really going into magic using really cool items and creatures as kind of like the system for it. So I think it's really interesting.
It's cool to see it in a different way, too. You know, like so many of fantasy and other, you know, shows that do this kind of stuff, they all do similar stuff. This is a kind of a new take on that with the stone and the book. And I mean, we'll see what other creatures they have. But right now they have bait's hilarious.
And stones. Like maybe there's more stones that have like different kinds of magic that they can pull from and use. We're not exactly sure yet what kind of magic like this stone is the source of. I think that's something that we're going to find out in the later episodes. But yeah, so he was able to do this like crazy looking wind spell that looks like some kind of airbender type thing. So that's what he was able to do, or that's what she was able to do with that. But after that scene, we get some more exposition of King Harrow and Viren, and we kind of get to learn their relationship. Harrow is kind of salty about Viren using dark magic over like the last few years.
He seems pretty upset about it.
Okay,
obviously.
Maybe not point, salty. Like, salty is playing it down. He's extremely upset about it. He really is. He does get into a bit of a yelling voice with him.
It looks like that might have been obviously something in the past. You learn, you know, what it was, but in the next episode. But it looks like something that kind of caused a rift between the two of them.
Yeah, which is funny because remember how like in the first podcast we talked about how we thought Viren was going to be like this really, really bad guy, like maybe the main villain. I'm not so sure after seeing the first three episodes if he is the main villain, because I mean, maybe they're saving it as like a plot twist, but right now he seems very like relatable. He's actually another thing here. He's actually the dad of Claudia and Soren, and you see them, you know, he does act fatherly with them, and he has good moments, so he doesn't seem like a total bad guy.
It's just kind of another thing we had mentioned in the first episode or before we knew what it was going to be like, is that in Avatar they had characters where you didn't completely think everything they did was just bad or evil just because they were pure evil. They had a different side, and clearly he, like, you can kind of get his point of why he did the things he did trying to protect his people, but at the same time you're like, you probably could have done it in a better way, and I don't know
exactly
right now.
That's it. Those, like, everything you just said was pretty much verbatim of what King Hero said in that exact scene, where he's like, I had to do all these things and now I'm like regretting it. I'm not feeling it, dude. Like, stop using a dark magic. It's not chill anymore.
Right. And then after that we get the shot of Rayla trying to fix things herself, because she got kicked out.
Yeah.
And then you see her kind of like plowing through the woods. She goes through there's a set of guards in the woods, and then she gets to the wall, and then you find out that her blades get to turn into hook things.
Her blades are like these crazy, they look like Legolas's, like we said, Legolas's two twin swords, but they're like this crazy contraption that turns into those like pickaxes. Like, you guys know the Tomb Raider pickaxe that Lara Croft uses to like climb up stuff. They like somehow flip, kind of like a butterfly knife or something, and they like turn into these crazy looking pickaxes, which are really cool. Because I think, oh, that just reminded me of no, we'll wait to the third episode to go into that, because that was really cool. But there's more stuff, there's more weapons that do stuff like that that are really cool, and we'll talk about it when it comes up. So Rayla, you know, after she got kicked out, she's like, I'm gonna go do this myself. So she's like trekking through the woods, she climbs up this massive hill because the castle's at the top of the hill, and she like infiltrates the base. And we actually see, this is the first scene with Callum and Rayla. Rayla is sneaking up on Callum, and Callum's like, you can't sneak up on me, Ezrin. And then he turns around and it's Rayla, and he's like, oh God, and you're one of those with the pointy. And it's like this really funny interchange between them, where he's like,
she's like, are you talking about my ears? And he's like, no, the horns. And then he like can't decide which one's better to.
And then
to
she
say.
Pulls, she pulls out her swords, and then he's like, I mean swords, the pointy swords. You know, it's like this. They're really funny. I think this, we're gonna have some really good moments between them in this show. She's like, she is super direct and super serious, and he. You know, he's Sokka. He's Jack DeSena.
He's funny and
super funny.
Easygoing.
He's very lighthearted, and he makes a lot of callback jokes, you know, where he sets up jokes earlier and then he like brings them back. So I really appreciate callback jokes. So that's just something I really like. So I'm really into that. But what if something sparks between them? What if there is like this love interest there? What if something
love
happens?
Triangle.
Yeah, I don't know. Between, oh my gosh, Claudia. Yeah. Wow.
Maybe
triangles, of course.
Maybe they both end up being into Callum.
Wow, Claudia
Sokka,
versus Rayla.
Sokka did have a history of that.
Oh, that's so funny. That's going to be its own showdown. That's going to be Rayla versus Claudia. Who's going to win? Oh, I don't know.
Well, that's a good one, too. Magic versus the...
We don't know if she knows any spells just yet.
I'm saying Claudia might, with the magic, and then
Maybe Rayla knows spells, because so far in the three episodes that we've seen, she hasn't done any spells. She's just you know, used her really cool swords.
I was gonna say, right before that, that scene, Callum meets with King Hero, and then that's when he gives him the letter with the seal,
right,
and asks him to break the seal after he's been killed, and then they hug, and you know,
King Hero is going to send them away, so they're out of harm's way, because they know that the elves are going to attack that night, because it's going to be a full moon, and at the full moon is when the Moonshadow Elves are at their like peak abilities.
Peak of power.
They're power peaks.
Power peak.
But yeah, that's really cool. And we'll talk about that in the third episode.
A line that I really liked from that, right before the hug or whatever, is like, to me, it just looks cool because that's what I think about in real life all the time.
Yeah.
Is this exact line, as he says, "The great illusion of childhood is that adults have all the power and freedom, but the truth is the opposite. A child is freer than a king." And I always felt like that way because, like, the older I get, I feel like the less control I have. Whereas,
it's
like,
so
as a
true.
Kid, you get to do everything you want. And
it's
just,
so true. And I think that's something you realize as you get older, that, like, you know, you have to follow all these. Yeah, it's becoming an adult, you know. There's all these things that you have to do to make sure that, you know, everything's taken care of, you know. And that's just, you know, it's just, it comes with the responsibilities. As you become an adult, you have more responsibilities. But another line, which I almost forgot to say, was the Game of Thrones reference that they put in there, where he tells Callum that, you know, where they're going, there's no snow, but he says winter is coming eventually. He says winter is coming eventually. And you're just like, that's, you know.
That's pretty much Game of Thrones right there.
Like, the way he says it, this is the delivery. Excuse me, the delivery was really funny because there was like this pause and then he says eventually. So it's like, okay, like straight up. Everyone that's seen Game of Thrones, like, this is for you.
Right. Yeah. Everybody knows how long it took before winter actually came.
Yeah. I know. It took the entire show. It took the entire show for winter to come, finally. After that meeting, what happens? Oh, yeah. So
that's,
we're talking
when
about.
They run into him in the hall, and then the chase scene ensues. And then.
Yeah, so Rayla pretty much kicks over Callum and catches up with him and is going to, or tells Callum that she is there to kill the king and the king's son, Ezrin. So what Callum does is like, no, not Ezrin. He's my little brother. He's cool. So he tells Rayla that he's Ezrin and is going
to,
like,
protect him.
He's going to take the sword for his brother to protect him. But then Ezrin, behind a painting, who's in this, like, secret passage, has no idea that that this is happening on the other side of the painting. And it's just like, psst, Callum, like, you have to come see this. I found something. And then Rayla, like, pulls open the painting, and Ezrin's just like, oh, and shows Rayla the glow toad, and the glow toad just goes flashes
bait,
this crazy light.
It's like a flash grenade, but from bait.
Yeah,
so I love then, that.
Yeah,
like, out of nowhere.
What a rescue! And they take off down the hallway, and Rayla, you know, runs after them, and then they get to the end of the hallway, and they're in this little room. And there's, like, a bunch of all these, like, crazy magical stuff. It looks like it's Viren's room of, like, magical stuff. And there's, like, you see, I think there's elf horns there and a bunch of other crazy.
A bunch of, like, jarred stuff. It looks like mad scientist kind of.
Yeah, and Rayla is mad. She's like, oh, no, you didn't. And he's.
Boy, before you get to her going down there, I love how. You know, he pushes the stones and rocks, and, like, then he's like, how do you know which one's a stone and a rock?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he doesn't really answer him.
The dialogue is so funny with Ezrin. Yeah.
But then after they go down the stairs and you're like, are you sure she's not going to be able to figure it out? He's like, it took me over a month to figure it out. And then literally in seconds, she figures it out and comes downstairs, and he's like, how'd you figure it out so quickly? It's like there was jelly tart prints all over the rocks.
Yeah, that was really funny. Ezrin is like this little jelly tart thief. He goes into, like, the bakery and steals all these, like, pastries that the baker is always making, and the baker is just not having it anymore. He's so upset. You see that in that one scene. But, like, stuff like that. I really enjoy those character development. Kind of just their filler
just
scenes.
Show personality.
Yeah, so they're not directly. I mean, well, actually, it turned out that it was directly important to the whole plot because the jelly tart was the culprit to why they all got caught, why Rayla caught up to them. But that's funny. I didn't even think about that. But Rayla, you know, catches up to them and she's like, "Time's up," and Ezrin is like, "You got to see this," and he like pulls off the blanket to this thing, and it's the egg. It is the dragon prince, the egg that Rayla and all the other elves and dragons think that was destroyed. So Rayla is like completely taken back. She's like, this changes everything. That's what she says.
Yep.
And I feel like this is the moment where she's like, I need to do this. This is what I need to do. I need to protect this egg. I'm going to figure out, you know, how to fix things by protecting this egg. And
that's the one moment that changed her mind of like what her right and wrong should be from that moment.
Yeah.
Rather than what people told her.
Exactly.
Like, people didn't know everything that was involved.
She was like trying to trust her instincts before by like not doing what the assassins were telling her to do. But now she's like, yeah, I'm going to embrace my instincts and I'm going to do what I feel is right. And then in that like split moment, Claudia shows up and she is mad. She's whipping out that crazy stone with like trying to get Callum and Ezrin to come back over here and get out of the way, because Rayla and all of them are standing on one side of the room next to the egg, and Claudia is on the back side of the room, and it's like one of those like standoffs, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like she's got this like stone of power, and she's like, I'm gonna blast you with some crazy spell, and then tries to get Ezrin to come back, but they don't come back. They decide in that moment that they need to take the egg and get out of there, because Claudia says, she says something on the lines of, the egg isn't just an egg, it's a huge weapon. And the reason why the egg is there is because Viren took the egg away from the dragons and the elves, because I think what Viren told Claudia was that it's like this weapons of mass destruction type thing that Viren was trying to save everybody from them using. So that's what Claudia knows. Claudia thinks that that's like an evil weapon. So she's like, get away from that. We're trying to protect this thing from the elves and the dragons using it against us. So it's like right, this really weird.
That's,
yeah.
That's right when Callum decides to, you know, cuff her.
Oh,
so that
yeah.
She can't do anything, but then she ends up sending the spell down after them, turning these ghost wolves or spell wolves.
They take off down the hallway with the egg. Claudia was chained up by Callum really quickly, and then she sends out this crazy like shadow wolves to go fight them and catch up to them. And they catch up to them at the end of the other hall. And Rayla is trying to use her swords to kill the shadow wolves or whatever, but she can't do it because her swords just pass right through them, which is like another cool thing. I really like how they showed like the animation for that. The animation for that sequence was really, really fun. So I applaud them for that. But
yeah, that's right when Callum somehow becomes a mage.
Yeah,
he remembers the spell from when he talked to Claudia.
The spell, the wind spell. It. Yeah, the wind spell. And uses it against the shadow wolves and blows them away. And Rayla's like, I didn't know you were a mage. And he's like, I'm a mage. I'm a mage! You know, it's
that was
like,
definitely a Sokka moment to me.
Yeah.
It was like, I could hear him during when he's just like so super excited.
Yeah, because he yells it, and then Rayla's just like, shut up, nobody likes a loud mage. And then he's like, I'm a mage, and like starts saying it, like whispering it as they transition to the next scene. But like, that was really, really cool.
Right.
That
blends, like that part kind of blends into episode three. They kind of happen at the scene is in both episodes, but yeah, sort of at the same time. Or just before that, Viren and Claudia have that quick meeting about how the king doesn't want to use dark magic, and then
that's right. They're trying to figure out another way to protect him, right?
Yeah, and Viren says kind of talks about their past friendship and how he the king always thought of him as like this super great person, like very dependable.
Almost like a brother, right? They looked like they were brothers in the past or something like that, like really, really close. Something happened. Dark magic, obviously.
Then the dark magic happened, and obviously they didn't have the same viewpoint on that, and that kind of formed the rift.
Yeah.
And I felt like this reminded me exactly of Roku and Fire Lord Zozin from Avatar, like their friendship.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that scene. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Because
they're like great friends and like both just good guys growing up and like nothing went wrong. And then they got older and separated, and then different things happen in their life. And then Fire Lord Zozin becomes sort of evil and wants to start a war.
It happened because they both separated during the war, and then they come back together, and they both like have different opinions about the war. Like their politics have changed. Yeah. Like Roku's all about like trying to help all the different nations, and then Sozin's like, I'm trying to make the Fire Nation the best. Like, what? Get out of my way, Roku. You know, right?
Right. Yeah. And it just reminds me so much of that, like two guys who, you know, when they were young, super close friends, and then as they grew older, they kind of grew apart and had different views on
like
what's
me and
right.
You, right? Like me and you, right?
Yes. Yes. Now we hate each other.
Yeah. We hate each other. Tremendously. Like, you guys should have seen like all the text messages be like, Alex, we should do this podcast, and then Alex is just like, no, I don't really like you, like you're kind of annoying.
Yes.
I just kidding. That never happened. But yeah, that was a really good scene, and also like applause to that, because we love Avatar.
I love anything. I like that word. People change, and at one point this guy wasn't just bad his whole life. It just stuff happened.
Yeah, that stuff is the best. But yeah, so the second episode ends with I think it ends with like this one of these scenes, or I think a couple scenes before, Viren shows Hero the alternative way that they can protect King Hero from the Moonshadow Assassin. So Viren is like this mage, right? He's like into dark magic or whatever. And he's got this crazy thing that he shows Hero. And it turns out to be this this snake, this soul fang serpent from the black sand of the Midnight Desert over in Zadia. But it's this crazy thing that supposedly when it bites like a human or whatever or something, it takes its soul. It takes its soul from whoever it bites. So the crazy thing that Viren found wasn't just the regular soul fang serpent. He found a soul fang serpent with two heads. So he's telling King Hero that the one head can bite and take the soul from one person, and then the other head will bite and take the soul from that person, and then they swap souls. So he's telling King Hero that he can hide his soul in the body of somebody else. And King Hero is just like so angry at this. He's not into it at all, because you know he doesn't like dark magic and everything. But Viren was just like, this is the only way, like we have to do this. There's no way we can stop them, the Moonshadow Elves, during a full moon, because they're all powerful or whatnot. But King Hero was like, I'd rather die a king than live a coward. You know, like that was like a really good line, a really good moment.
Right.
That like showed his character as a king, that he's not going to sacrifice.
Somebody else just because he's the king.
Yeah.
He's one of them, not ahead of all of them.
Yeah. He even asks Viren, like, would you sacrifice your life? And he's like speechless. Viren doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And then like tells him to get out. He tells him to get out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was episode two. So that was like really good, really good character moments in that. And then episode three is where the crazy stuff goes down. This is where we have the assassins who end up infiltrating the base during the full moon.
Just after they get away from the shadow wolves or ghost wolves, whatever you want to call them, they run out, and then that's when they run into Runan.
Runan. It's like the coolest name ever.
Yes.
I feel like I'm going to name some of my Pokemon in Pokemon Go after that dude.
Yeah.
maybe
definitely rolls off the tongue.
Maybe a Scyther or something. He's very like Scyther. I like that. But yeah, so what? Where were we?
That's when the three of them run into him, and then Rayla decides to confront him, and then that's when exactly the full moon comes out of the clouds, get out of the way, because they know the show's gotta have a battle.
And the craziest thing happens, Alex. They just like, did they just go invisible? Like right when the full moon came out?
Are they completely invisible?
I mean,
I feel like they're almost invisible. Because
for
the
sake of the audience to see them fight, they showed like these like weird silhouettes that were translucent. Like you could see through them, but you could still see their like kind of black, dark character outline as they were like fighting and moving around over on like the castle wall. But yeah, I think they might, actually no, they're not fully invisible. They're not fully invisible because we do see a shot of the assassins fighting, guards while they're invisible, right. And the guards are defending them. So the
either
guards
way, it's
must
quite
be able
a good
to
advantage.
See them. Yeah. So during the full moon, now we know that Moonshadow elves are like somewhat invisible, and maybe their strength
like super
and agility
good camouflage basically.
Yeah, their strength and ability I think is heightened.
Yeah,
they were like doing
seems
some
like
crazy jumps. They like jumped off like a crazy tower and all the way down and we're totally fine, you know. So
right.
Really
but
good
yeah,
agility
then,
there.
Soon after that, that's when Runan figures out that Rayla's just trying to stall him.
Oh yeah. So
that he can't come.
Ezrin pulls out the Dragon Prince egg, the egg, and then Runan knows that, you know, the egg is still alive, but he's like, no, we still have a mission. We did the blood pact thing. So they're still gonna go ahead and try to kill the king and the prince either way.
Yeah. Even though he knows the egg is not dead.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that I don't know why he still feels that way, but I mean, I guess maybe he thinks it's not worth.
Well,
the
I mean,
risk
definitely
of
the blood pack thing,
it.
I think, is still a big reason why, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely could be.
I mean, that would suck to find out if you made a blood pact that would end your life if you didn't succeed, where, like, you know, it's for the wrong reasons completely.
Yeah.
You know?
I like right before they fight, Runan says, "Don't do this. I will kill you." And then Rayla says, probably.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then, like, I think right when she says probably, they all turn invisible.
Yeah.
That's how that sequence went. It was really, really cool. You guys have to watch it, seriously. If you don't have Netflix, I think they have, like, free trials or something. Go watch it.
You can get it done. It's, like, a little over 3 hours. Is it 3 hours? It's about 3 hours to watch the whole thing.
They're 25-minute episodes, and there's 9 of them. So, just, like, you got to do that. But after that, you know, the egg, and then we see Runan fight Rayla. Callum goes and tries to help out with the king. And that's when we see them fighting, and the assassins are fighting the guards, and Soren's there, and Viren's there.
Oh, and that's when Viren takes his voice.
He forms
that spell and just, like, takes his voice, and he has it in his hand. And then during the battle, his hand opens or whatever, and I think that releases it back. But,
so,
man,
it's literally
creepy.
It's literally verbatim the scene from The Little Mermaid where Ursula takes this like glowy thing out of the Little Mermaid's throat, Ariel's throat. I could not think of her name for some reason, but yeah, takes the voice away and then she's completely speechless. That's exactly what Viren does to Callum, because Callum says, I'm gonna go tell my dad that you knew the egg was here and you didn't kill it and you've been hiding it. I'm gonna go tell him. And Viren's just like, nah, and then pulls his voice out and it looks exactly like the scene from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but you're totally right. I just haven't seen that in so long, but yeah, it's just like that.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I literally just thought of it too.
It's very cool visual too to show that of how he's losing the voice, and they give you a second. He's like gasping, but he can't say anything.
Yeah. So I mean, after that, we see them fighting, and Callum's like, "I gotta either go tell my dad that the Dragon Prince egg is okay and keep fighting here with all these assassins, or I got to go meet up with Ezrin and Rayla and take that egg and get out of here." And he decides right there to go join up with Rayla and Ezrin and Bait to go off on their quest. So they meet up and they're just like, we got to take this egg back to Zadia. And
right when he does that, I thought, I mean, it wasn't a big thing, but it shows that, like we said before, that they can really do what they want with the show, because they showed him, like, he trips on a body. So clearly they're not pulling punches with
there's
it.
Dead
so
bodies,
killing,
guys.
They're killing guys. Like, this isn't, you know, they're not hiding from stuff like that.
Yeah, this ain't no this rated G story here, guys. We got people on the ground, bloody and dead. But, I mean, it's pretty cool. So
Yeah, I like that they made it more real with that.
But, yeah, after that, I think we get a shot as the three plus Bait, Rayla, Ezrin, and Callum are running off, like, they're hitting the bridge, and they'd be like, we got to go take this back. And then they cut to...
They do the Bilbo Baggins, we're going on an adventure.
Oh, yeah, exactly. we're going on an adventure. After that, they cut to Runan, who's, like, hobbling out of the tower. He's the only one that makes it out of there. Like, he is holding his ribs. He is limping. He is the only one that walks out the door. And... the binding thing, that rope thing, the blood packed rope, falls to the ground. It falls off of his wrist, and I think that signifies that the mission was successful. Like,
we better find out in the next episode.
That was the cliffhanger. That was the cliffhanger.
Yeah, because then he fires the arrow into the... He just fires into the sky and it turns into a hawk. So obviously some kind of magic involved
it's
with that.
Signal.
And it's like a messenger hawk maybe just a signal.
It's a signal that's supposed to go back all the way to the dragons to tell them that, hey guys, we did it. We were successful. We killed the king. But they didn't kill the prince. So
no.
Was killing Ezrin just like a bonus? Was that not part of the blood pack?
We don't really know the motives of killing Ezrin. Maybe there's something about him that's special that we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's got some kind of power that, you know,
maybe
only the king and the elves somehow know because of their...
Speaking of that, they didn't really go into Callum's backstory so much. They didn't go into it at all, actually. So
they don't talk about his mom, really. Yeah. I mean, they mentioned, obviously it seems like she's
They showed his relationship with King Harrow. And it's kind of this, like, this weird, awkward relationship between a stepson and a stepdad. And Callum's just like, I don't know whether to call you king or sir or King Harrow or dad. You know, it's just like this, like, weird relationship where he, like, bows, and then the King Harrow is just be like, no, please, just call me dad or something. But he's like, oh, yeah. Okay, I don't know. You know,
and
so
awkward. You see him call out and say dad when that battle starts happening, so he just
so that was
to
like,
me that shows how he truly feels, that he looks at him as his real dad,
cool. It'll be interesting to see if he made it out of there, because they didn't show any, like, definitive footage.
I'm not
of him being dead, like, lying there with, like, a sword, like, in his chest or anything. Like, they didn't show him at all. The fight started, and they didn't show him at all during the fight. So we're left to believe with that cliffhanger that Runan was successful in killing King Harrow.
I wonder if they'll do a backtrack, like, all right, show what was happening
probably
during the battle.
I think
that would be cool.
What I think is going to happen is that Viren did something with the soul fang serpent. I think that maybe in the last minute he, like, whipped out the snake and was just like, I'm gonna do it. I'm doing it right now. Or maybe he was dying. Maybe the king was dying and switched.
Maybe he switched with him and now they're in opposite bodies.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I think something like that happened.
Yeah.
Because, like, this serpent thing is too cool to not use it in, like, as a plot device. Like, it's so cool. There's no way that they would take so many scenes to explain the serpent.
and not use it. Yeah,
to not use it. Right. You know, that's how I think about that. Because like, then it would just be like a waste unless it gets used in a different episode
later on. Yeah,
maybe, but I don't know. I think they used it, and I think maybe King Harrow is in some other dude's body, and Viren maybe is somehow alive and didn't die in that fight either, and maybe knows or doesn't know what happened exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe the snake got out. Maybe the snake just went loose and that out. Oh my gosh. I think that's probably what happened, because King Harrow would have died. You know what? King Harrow would have never used it. He said, like, I would rather die. Like I said, I would rather die a king than live a coward. He would never use it. So I think maybe, oh my gosh, we need to watch episode 4 like right now.
Wait, what if
the snake got out of the basket that Viren was keeping it in and just did it anyways?
So it's got to bite two people though, right?
Yeah, maybe it bit something else.
So what if, I mean, I guess this wouldn't really make too much sense.
It bit
too much sense with the way it ended, but what if it bit Runan and him at the same time? King Harrow and Runan. But then, I know it doesn't make, I don't think it's true, but that would have been a cool
maybe
idea.
What if the snake bit Viren and King Harrow?
Oh yeah, that's what I think probably
and
happened.
Then,
they would have had to been close, but
yeah, and then King Harrow's in Viren's body.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. When them switching bodies, that would be real cool. But then my question
because
is,
then that would be like
if they switch bodies, does that mean then he can do magic as Viren, like being in his body, or is it a mind thing that's stuck in your head?
I feel like magic is something that anybody can do if they know the spells.
Yeah.
Because Callum didn't know anything and he just started doing spells. Right. But I think we're onto something with that. I think. Oh, that's so crazy to think. Oh my gosh, you guys. Let us know on Twitter if you haven't seen episode 4 or you haven't watched the show. Go over to QQuest on Twitter.
And no spoilers, though.
Yeah, no spoilers, though. No spoilers. Let us know what you think of that scene. And don't forget to put in hashtag spoiler the Dragon Prince or spoiler TDP. That's the hashtag that the Dragon Prince Twitter account has been using. To let people know that haven't seen certain points in the show know that whatever tweet is a spoiler to a later part in the show. So that's something that they're using, which I think is really cool. And their Twitter account has some really cool stuff. A lot of fan art. I don't know if you're checking that out, Alex. It's really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. It's
and
everywhere.
The cosplays for like Rayla. And I've seen some cosplays for Runan too. They're really good. They're legit. Like people are going all out.
I saw one for Ezran. It was a girl and she made herself
into
Ezran.
That too.
It looks like a cartoon. It looks so cool.
Yeah, well, because she has the contacts. She had like these really bright blue like cosplay contacts in, and it looked really, really good. I think New York Comic Con is going to be lit with Dragon Prince cosplayers because they're having that panel there for the voice actors.
Is it Justin Richmond and Aaron Niehaus? Or is it just the voice actors?
I mean, I'm sure the creators will be there, but the panel, I think they're doing, it'll probably be the creators and the voice actors.
At least
the three main voice actors, which I think will be really, really cool. But yeah, those are the first three episodes. Was there anything you wanted to add to our little synopses before we get into the showdown segment of today's podcast?
No, I think we got pretty much everything. I mean, I'm sure we missed a couple things, but we got the meat and potatoes of the episodes.
All right, cool,
so
cool.
We can get to the showdown.
So I am legit too excited for this showdown right here. We are doing a showdown, and the two characters that we're pitting against each other are Runan versus Legolas. Ooh, two elves, one from the woods, one from the moon. Well, actually, I'm pretty sure Runan's not from the moon. He's probably from he's probably from another forest, but the moon. Yeah, it'll be really cool.
But he really likes the moon.
Yeah, it'll be really cool to talk about this. What do you think, Alex? Should we just like say who we both think would win like right off the bat, and then we'll go into explaining why?
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna say Legolas is gonna win.
So is I. I was gonna say Legolas. Still.
Yeah.
Just mostly, I just think he's just maybe one of the most elite fighters I've ever seen in any universe that doesn't involve I mean, even without magic, he's just insanely accurate and agile.
Let me say that also, we've only seen 3 episodes of Runan so far, and he's done some crazy stuff. He has done some crazy moves. His swords turn into his bow. Like, he does... I know somebody else that does that, who, like, puts both ends of the sword handles together, and it turns into a bow. I can't think of who does that right now. But I know I've seen that in something else. But he's got that. He's got 2 swords. He's got a bow. Legolas has 2 swords. He's got a bow. But yeah, we should go into the reasons why I think Legolas would win. Legolas. Yeah, they're both elite fighters, right? They're both elite fighters. Runan's an assassin.
Runan's got the the insanely good camouflage, almost to the point of invincibility, which is a big
during
plus.
During the full moon. So that's right, only during the full moon. So if we were to do like a random drop, you know, how many full moons are there in a month or in a year?
It's like 12, right? I think it's once a month pretty much.
Yeah, I can't.
It's not a lot.
I'm not a what's it called? What's the scientific term for a moon person who studies moon?
Astrology? Astrologer?
Yeah, that could be.
Astronomer?
It. Yeah, a moon shadow elf. Astrologers are scientific. All moon shadow elves. No, but yeah, so... I mean, chances are if they were to fight, they would be on a day that doesn't have a full moon. So he's probably not going to have his, you know, camouflage ability. And apart from that, you know, he's very agile. I will say that he definitely looks like he can jump higher and run faster than Legolas.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Legolas did have pretty good speed, but... not quite the speed that he does.
Yeah, Runan is definitely quicker. But in terms of skills, you know, Runan is there, but Legolas is just on another realm completely. Like, you see Legolas shoot goblins in Khazad Dûm, right? You see him shoot goblins from, like, 3 football fields away.
Well, and he'll do the thing where he fires 3 arrows at once and they all land perfectly.
Yeah, like, you know. He is like the expert of expert marksmen. And when we see Runan shoot his bow, you know, he does miss a few soldiers in that fight scene before, you know, he kills King Hera or whatever.
He's still a great fighter, but even Raylo, he said, was more powerful than him. And
could be, right? Could be more powerful.
Well, he said you're probably the strongest of us.
Oh, really?
But you don't have, he's like, your head's not straight, basically.
Oh,
the way
right. Oh, that's right. He did say that. I remember that. That's when he kicked her out of the group. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Legolas, you know, we see Legolas jump on a, what's
Oliphant?
An Oliphant, yeah. And like kills this crazy, Oliphant of all of these different Eastern evil dudes.
I was just thinking of the Gimli line. It still only counts as one.
It still only counts as one. Yeah, what a good line. I love that. I mean,
he's just too... I mean, he just doesn't miss ever.
He doesn't ever miss. And we saw Runan miss a couple times. So that's why... I think that's where both of us are on that same wavelength.
Yeah.
Legolas doesn't ever miss.
Yeah, it's hard to beat a guy who can't miss, basically.
Yeah, and... you know, he's really good at sensing when bad things are going to happen. Like, he knew when the Palantir went online, you know, when it got activated. He was like, Sauron's here, remember? Mm-hmm. And he's like outside, like looking out into the stars at night.
Yeah,
and
he's got that sense.
So he's got this like spidey sense, magical sense thing. So he can kind of sense stuff like that too. I mean, we don't know what Runan is capable of yet either, so this could change. We could update this like in later podcast episodes, but
yeah, without spoilers, send us your idea of who would win in the fight to at QQuest on Twitter.
Yeah,
and tell us who you think would win. Maybe you'll change our minds. Who knows?
Yeah, and also, guys, when you're on Twitter, let us know maybe more people you'd like to see in the showdown, two characters we pin up against each other, or more different top 10 lists that we could do on the podcast. Just go on over there and let us know, because we like this is this segment of the show is like one of our favorite things to do, because like we really go into all of our like fandom knowledge and we, you know, we pull out all the stops for that. So be a part of that, guys. Like, it's such a fun thing. And we'll definitely give you guys credit if you guys have like an awesome one, you have like a really cool top 10 that we'll do. Obviously, we'll give you a shout out in the podcast. Like, that's going to be so fun to do. So let us know over at QQuest on Twitter, because that's going to be super fun. All right. Well, I think that is a wrap for our second episode of the QQuest. Thank you guys so much for listening. Seriously, this is something Alex and I have been looking forward to all week, and we cannot wait to watch the rest of The Dragon Prince and talk about that with you guys in the next episode. Right, Alex?
Yeah, can't wait. Thanks for listening, and hope to have you back here for next time.
All right, guys, stay tuned. Thanks for subscribing.